It's the Denver City Cast and the Bet Rivers Network. Holden Kushner, as always, with you. Monster show today. Huge win for the Nuggets last night. I'll talk about the Nuggets' futures and why I'm not buying them as much as I am the Suns. Crazy weather for the Rockies and Dodgers in LA tonight. Rockies coming off a four-game series where they split with the Padres. We've got a bet for the national championship game this evening, UConn-San Diego State. And I'll tell you why I'm fine with taunting in the women's game. Plus, Mark Springer, Altitude 92.5. We're going to talk some Avs with him as the Avs are now within a point of the lead in the division. But we'll start with the Nuggets. Are they a good bet at plus 300 to win the West? Well, let's look at last night first. Last night, what an amazing victory. Not only did they get a win against Golden State without Nikola Jokic, but the finish was sensational. This was a statement game for the Nuggets, even without Jokic, a confidence builder. This team was rebuilt to beat the Warriors in the playoffs, and last night, it paid off. For those of you that missed the game, Nuggets had a 9-point lead with 90 seconds to play. They were also down 15 points in the first half, but they were up 9 with 90 seconds to play. Golden State with a furious rally, and in the final seconds, Bruce Brown was surrounded at half court, forced into a jump ball situation. Golden State gets the ball. Klay Thompson chucks up a three for the win. He misses, but the rebound comes right back to him. Shoots another three. Jamal Murray blocked it in a 112-110 win for the Nuggets. So Denver close to clinching the number one overall seed. They have a three-game lead over Memphis. There's just four games to play. So here are their odds to win the Western Conference. It's plus 300. The Suns are the favorites at plus 200, the Warriors plus 500, and then that scary team with LeBron and AD just on a tear right now. The Lakers are at 10-1. Now, the Nuggets have the best player in the world, so this puts them in the conversation to win it all. But I'm focusing on the West right now. The issue is that the Suns have won five straight, and they just are playing like the favorite. Durant had 35 last night. There's Booker, there's Paul, there's Ayton. They are so formidable. They also have some bench issues, though, like the Nuggets do. But this is a really good Nuggets team with the opportunity to be the best ever. But I am concerned. Again, I'm concerned about the bench. I'm concerned about the minutes that Jokic is going to have to log as the Nuggets get deeper into the playoffs. Thomas Bryant has just not worked out, and it's obvious that Michael Malone is frustrated with Bryant too. He just isn't giving them good minutes. So I am concerned about that. If you're placing a bet, I can't believe I'm saying this. I think the Lakers are the best value at 10-1. Again, LeBron, AD, Russell, they've got their holes too. But it's tough to go against LeBron. The issue with him and Davis, both these guys are brittle right now. So at any point in time, you could have injuries there. But they're a great value. The Suns should be the favorite. They should be the favorite. So I'm not going to back the Nuggets at plus 300. What I think the play is going to be is to bet the Nuggets game by game and bet them live when the opportunities arise. And they will. Again, they were down by double digits yesterday, end up winning the game. I don't know what the money line was when they were down by 15, but it had to be a tremendous number, at least plus 300, right? Without Jokic down that much. So I'm not going to bother with this future. What I am going to do is handicap every single playoff game. We'll try to make some money there. Definitely bet this thing live as well. So ultimately here, there's no play on the Nuggets' future. Let's get into the MVP talk, though. So Jokic missed his third straight game with calf tightness. So that popped up against Milwaukee about a week and a half ago. And it happened against Philadelphia where he was bothered by it. And Michael Malone said, this is not gamesmanship. This is not Jokic sitting out just to get rest, although some of it has to be that way. He's truly dealing with a tight calf. So Malone said, it's just us being smart about it. Worst case scenario is he plays and it creates a much bigger issue where he's out for an extended period of time. That's fine. These missed games, though, because of injury, have sealed the MVP for Joel Embiid. I just don't see where Jokic comes back. Sure, there was a spike in the odds. Jokic, you know, he was the favorite for a couple of days after Embiid decided not to play here. But whether it's the calf or just getting rest, and I don't even mind if it's rest at this point, Jokic isn't winning the MVP. MVP is going to go to Embiid. Minus 190, Jokic plus 160, Giannis 8-1. And that's where it's just going right now. So if you want to back Embiid, I don't bet minus 190s, but I think that that number is pretty accurate. Okay, that was number one of the Front Range Four. Four biggest sports stories on the Front Range. I'm going to have a bet for you on the men's national championship game, but for the first time ever on this podcast, and one of the first times ever that I've talked about a women's basketball game. It's not that I hate it, it's just not for me, but there was controversy in the women's national championship game, and it has America talking about the sport a lot more than any feat that was accomplished. Now, you had a really good player in Caitlin Clark kind of light things up in the first Final Four game. Everybody was talking about it, but and by the way, like 5 million people watched that game. A lot of people watched that game. ESPN, that was the highest ranked non-NBA playoff game that they've had in years. But you go back to the Final Four, there was some buzz because of Caitlin Clark, but I'm not talking about it that much if LSU just wins the game. Now, they won their first ever national title. It was a blowout, 102-85. Didn't watch a second of it. Like most people on social media, didn't watch a second of it. Everybody's got an opinion, though, on Angel Reese. 15 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals. But the big story here, with under a minute to go, she started celebrating. She did John Cena's "You Can't See Me," so she threw her hand in front of her face. Apparently, Caitlin Clark had done this earlier in the tournament. So she's doing that. She's pointing to her finger like, "I got a ring." And actually, Clark did it in the Elite Eight against Louisville. So here we go. You've got Angel Reese coming out here and doing the same thing. So apparently, Caitlin Clark is one of the greatest women's basketball players ever, and Angel Reese is a terrific player who's one of the greatest instigators ever. Anyways, this game is an afterthought to most Americans, and I don't watch women's basketball. I've told you that, but apparently Clark put it on the map, women's basketball on the map, and for what I see, Angel Reese, I don't love what she did. Like, I could deal without it, but the bottom line is that her actions brought more attention to the game than what the actual game would have gotten. So ultimately, I don't mind that Reese doubled down. This is great for the game of women's basketball. And I'll say this, the more it gets to be like men's basketball, where there is this trash talking and we see it, the better the ratings are going to be. The better the ratings are going to be. I mean, it's a fundamentally better game than NBA. And I'm talking about women's college basketball. To me, not nearly as fun as men's basketball with the athleticism and the pace. But ultimately, this is great for women's college basketball. Congratulations, Angel Reese. You're a champion, and you put the game on the sport more than Caitlin Clark did with an amazing performance or two or three or four or five or six. Okay, I can't believe I just talked women's basketball. Well, we did, but we did. Again, this is not a shot where I think anything because of the gender. It's just not a sport for me. It's a little bit too slow. Now I'm going to talk about baseball. You want to talk about something slow? Baseball was slow for years. I absolutely 100% love the pitch clock. And I've got buddies who are diehard baseball fans. I've got buddies who are in the media, and they're complaining about this. The people that have been around the game a long time covering it, it's kind of mixed. The players, it seems like it's kind of mixed. But for fans, they love it. They love it. It's a faster-paced game. These games are like 30 minutes less. Now I don't have to watch a guy hawk 3 loogies, grab his crotch, and take 45 seconds between pitches. It's bang, bang, bang. And this is going to get younger people in. The game is actually fun to watch now. It's not just something you sit at home or you sit at the ballpark and you get lazy. You got to watch the game now because things are happening fast. Now, the Rockies, let's talk about them. They split their four-game set. They were down in San Diego taking on the Padres. They're 2-2. By the way, the Rockies are 23-19 against the Padres since the start of 2021. They're just a thorn in the Padres' side. You see it all the time. Good teams, there's that one or two bad teams that just constantly give them trouble. And the Rockies would be a really good team if they had a chance to face the Padres a little bit more, I suppose, because they really have. They've really had their number. But quick recap of the series in San Diego before I give you my play for tonight's game against the Dodgers in LA. CJ Cron had 3 home runs, 7 RBI, 7 for 11 in that road series. I mean, they were scoring runs on the road. Blackman was hitting. Bryant was hitting. Cron was hitting. Those three guys went 20 for 47 with 4 homers, 5 doubles, 11 ribbies. They scored 10 of the 16 runs that the Rockies did in the series. So once these guys cool off, there's going to be a lot of pressure on the rest of that lineup, and I think we'll see the lineup really struggle outside of those three guys. But the Rockies are visiting the Dodgers tonight. Here are the lines on Bet Rivers. Rockies to win outright on the money line, plus 180. Dodgers minus 210. Rockies run line, plus 1.5 runs. So you got to hope they lose by one or just win. Minus 117. Dodgers got to win by 2 or more. You get that on the run line at minus 103. The total here, 8.5 runs, juice to the under at minus 120. This is going to be crazy. Winds are blowing from left to right at 25 to 30 miles an hour tonight, gusts up to 33. So that's a slight bump down to the batters, you would think. So I'll tell you why I'm taking a run off the total in my same game parlay. Well, that's it. The weather is going to be fascinating to see. But teams have been manufacturing runs with another new rule that's been implemented, and that would be the new shift rules. And it's kind of fun. You got more stolen bases because you can only throw over to first base 2 times, and then these guys know that they're stealing. I mean, there are stolen bases now. There have been multiple stolen bases that I've seen where the catchers don't even make a throw. So you got a bump because of the stolen bases. You got a bump because of the shift rules on the infield. So I'm still kind of comfortable with the runs being put up in this game. Now, Ryan Feltner's starting for the Rocks. 20 appearances, 19 starts last year, 4-9. 1.41 whip, 5.83 ERA. 2 games against the Dodgers, though, he went 1-0 with a 1.93, so he performed well against them. Going for the Dodgers, Michael Grove in 7 games. 6 starts, 1-0, 4.60 ERA, 1.43 whip. These two guys, kind of similar here. He faced the Rockies in his final appearance in 2022. He gave up 4 runs, a couple of bombs, and 5 innings, and they beat the Rockies 6-4 in October. L.A. coming off a split, 4-game split against the Diamondbacks. They've scored 20 runs through the first 4 games. They're tied for the MLB lead with 7 home runs. They've hit 7 home runs. It's going to be tough to knock the ball out of the park tonight. I wouldn't be surprised if someone did. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. Now, for those of you that want to bet the Dodgers on the run line, it was very, very profitable last year. How profitable was it? Well, that hit at 59.8%, 52-35 as a home favorite on the run line. Do we want to go with that tonight? Give me a sec. Give me a sec. Again, we got the wins. We still have manufactured runs. We've got 2 below average pitchers tonight. So here's my same game parlay. Slight bet. I'm going to go with a half a unit on this one. Early season baseball. Weather's a little bit crazy. I still like the Dodgers on the run line. I'll look back at last year. I look at this year. I get it. The roster maybe isn't as, the lineup isn't as deep. The rotation isn't as deep. But this is a red-hot offense coming out of the gates. Let's give the Dodgers run line. And then the game total, I'm taking a run off of that, over 7.5. And if you throw that same game parlay together on Bet Rivers, you're getting a plus 190. So almost 2-1. Dodgers run line, over 7.5, plus 190 official play right here on the Denver CityCast and the Bet Rivers Network. Now, I do have one more game to cap, and that is going to be the national championship game between San Diego State and UConn. I mean, you talk about a game. How about the finish of that San Diego State game? Wow. I thought FAU was going to be playing UConn. Nope. But some of us have seen quite a bit of San Diego State. And during the regular season, this was a different Aztecs team. They scored a little bit more, and their defense wasn't quite as stifling as it had been in the past. Things changed in the conference tournament. They've carried over here. You've got a team that has locked down defensively, has been able to score. It was fun watching them in the Mountain West Conference. That's where CSU resides, obviously. But tonight, we'll see if they can hang with UConn. The front court battle is going to be awesome. You've got big dudes, physical dudes on both teams. And I do wonder how this game is called on the inside. I think that's going to have a lot to do with it, which is why it'll be a fun game to bet live, too. You know, either side getting into foul trouble with the big guys, that could really swing things quickly. Now, Sanogo's the guy. Adama Sanogo, he's the man for UConn. 20 points, 10 rebounds in the tournament. He's got a backup freshman who's 7'2", and Donovan Klingon. He's been remarkable, too. So they've got big guys on the inside. Brian Dutcher's Aztecs, also big on the inside. And what I like about them, they're very experienced. They got a 24-year-old and two 23-year-olds. I mean, these guys are ancient. Lot of experience. Their forward, Jadeon Lee, probably their most important player. He's likely going to be guarding Sanogo. So Lee has to perform well and not get into foul trouble. He's 6'9", 240, going against Sanogo. The Huskies, they have had elite offensive runs here. They've also had elite defensive performances against some of the best offensive teams in the nation. I mean, they stifled Miami. 32% shooting for one of the most lethal offenses in the country. Same thing with Gonzaga, who shot 33%. San Diego State plays defense. They don't seem to get down by too much, although in this tournament, you know, they've trailed by double digits and then come back to win these games. They won two games by 1 point. Two games by 1 point. I'm betting this pregame, and I'll tell you why. Because of the chance that UConn gets out to a big lead early and we don't get the 7.5 again. UConn has won their games by 20.6 points on average. I mean, that's amazing. Every game, double-digit wins. So the line's on Bet Rivers. UConn minus 7.5 is minus 108. It's actually dropped a little bit. San Diego State, which is a good thing if you're back in UConn. San Diego State plus 7.5 minus 112. Money line here, plus 275. Aztecs minus 345. Huskies, 132.5 is the total. So again, I'm betting this pregame because I've just seen UConn come out of the gates too strong. Now, we can hedge in-game or just double and triple down in-game as well. A couple other notes before I give you the play. Huskies average 9 threes per game, 6 nationally among schools from power conferences. Aztecs only scoring 28% of their points from beyond the arc, although it seems like they've had some timely three-pointers. They're 269th nationally in three-point shooting percentage. So they've got a great three-point defense, but they don't shoot it well. There hasn't been another team as deep and as talented and as hot as UConn. And while the Aztecs came back from double digits quite a bit, 14 against Florida Atlantic, I just don't see where they can hang with UConn. UConn's so talented, so big, so hot. So here we go. Official play, UConn Huskies, minus 7.5. Minus 112 on Bet Rivers. Coming up next on the Denver CityCast and the Bet Rivers Network, my friend Mark Springer, Altitude 92.5. The Avs got a big, big win over the weekend. Big win. Can they track it down and win the division over the final few games of the regular season? Okay, Mark Springer is here. We got him, Altitude 92.5. Avs Insider, post-game show. I mean, he does a little bit of everything over there. My friend, it's wonderful to catch up with you once again. I'm going to dive right into this. The Avalanche with another big win. They keep teasing us. are they going to win the division now? Because it's getting very, very tight. And what are they, 1 point behind? One point back in the division? I'm feeling a lot better than I think you are feeling right now. So talk to me.
Well, no, I felt good about the Avs all season long, and there is absolutely a path to them winning the division. You know, I was a little disappointed in that loss to the Wild last week because Kirill Kaprizov, the Wild's best player, has been out, and it was in the Avs building. And now, like, had they won that game, it would have been like, oh, yeah, this team's going to win the division. But they lost. They didn't play well in the first half of that game. They did get it going big time in the third period, outshot Minnesota 18-3. But unfortunately, they just weren't crisp enough. And the Avs are still undermanned a little bit. Lekkonen and Manson out. I can't even count Gabe Landeskog. He's been out the whole year. But they kind of let that one get by them, even though Minnesota was pretty hot coming into that game. They were they had only lost in regulation once in 21 games coming into that game. So okay, Minnesota was playing well, but that was a winnable game. You drop that. Then they did what they needed to do on Saturday. They beat the Dallas Stars at home. Now, they got a scheduling break because Dallas played the night before in Arizona. And I could tell watching that game that Dallas was on the second night of a back-to-back, but the Avs took care of business. They got 2 points that they really should have gotten based on the scheduling. And now the key really is that the Avs have a very favorable schedule down the stretch. And when you look at the three schedules between the Avs, the Stars, and the Wild, obviously with the Stars leading Colorado and Dallas by a point, the Avs and Stars both have 96 points. The Wild have 97 points. The Avs have a game in hand on both of those teams, and the Avs just beat Dallas. Minnesota's in the driver's seat based on points, but they have the toughest schedule of those three teams. The Avs have the easiest schedule. The Stars have a relatively easy schedule too, but the Avs just beat Dallas, so that helps a lot. Tonight, Minnesota, they host the Vegas Golden Knights, so we are going to have a really good indication, or a much better indication after tonight, of what the Avs' chances are. Vegas just beat Minnesota in Las Vegas. Now this game is in Minnesota. Vegas can win this game. If Minnesota wins, it will become tougher for the Avs to win the division, but that easy schedule will help the Avs out. Right now, I'm going to put it at a coin flip. This could go either way. If Minnesota loses tonight, the Avs' odds go way up. If Minnesota wins tonight, it's still doable for the Avs based on that easy schedule, but it'll become a little tougher.
I mean, plus they got a game in hand, though. That's the big thing. You got the Sharks twice. You got a couple of lame teams here. I think I was going to say lame Ducks. You got the Ducks. You got the Sharks twice. They're a point behind with a game in hand. And I know the Stars are right there, but still, I'm feeling pretty good. I think I'm feeling better than you about this, believe it or not.
Yeah, I mean, I will have and I don't love tonight's Wild Knights game. This one to me is really tough because, again, I find it tough with this Wild team without their best player, Kirill Kaprizov. I'm struggling to wrap my head around how they had played so well over the past like 3 weeks. Some of that without him. It's incredible the solid hockey the Wild have been playing. That being said, they're not world beaters. Without Kaprizov, they don't have a ton of stars. Vegas is still missing Mark Stone, and it's tough to put a true gauge on them right now. They also have a couple of goaltending injuries. Their top two goaltenders, really top three if you're going back to Robin Leonard, are out. They're down to Laurent Brossoit. So this is a very interesting Wild Knights game tonight. If Minnesota does win, even though their schedule is tougher, I'm looking at Minnesota's schedule right now. In fact, I accidentally just closed it out, but they have let me open it back up again. They have a couple of easy games as well, like Minnesota. They play the Blues, the Blackhawks, and Nashville. Could be a tough one in Nashville as their last game of the season, but that also could be a desperation. Minnesota needs it. We'll see tonight. My lean right now, if I was to bet, I would say the Avs will win the division based on, like you said, Holden, the fact that they are just a point down with a game in hand and two against the Sharks this week. The Ducks, like you said, that will help the Avs tremendously. But tonight's Wild Knights game, I'm telling you, will be a huge indication of what happens.
All right, I'll keep an eye on that. I got other things, though. We got the national championship game. I got to watch a little Rockies-Dodgers, believe it or not. I do like watching baseball, especially with the new pitch clock. But back to the Avs here. Any concern about them struggling against playoff teams?
Well, let me say this about the Avs in the playoffs. They need either Lehkonen or Landeskog back. You have got to get one of those two forwards back, because right now they're playing Alex Newhook on the second line, the young former first-round pick, still young, still developing, has a ton of talent, but he's not quite ready for those top 6 minutes. I mean, he was a healthy scratch in last year's playoff. He's made progress this year. Don't get me wrong. I've seen it, but he's not quite ready for that. They need Lehkonen or Landeskog to assume those top 6 minutes. They need one of those two players back. Now, it looks like one of them at least will be back. It very well could be both. We don't know. They're playing it very close to the vest with all of these injuries, certainly with Gabe Landeskog. Got to have one of those guys back. Certainly you'd like to have Josh Manson back on the blue line as well. Yes, Minnesota beat them earlier this week, but the Avs were 2-0 against Minnesota earlier this season. And one of those was in Minnesota. I think both of them were in Minnesota. So the Avs have beaten the Wild twice this season, have lost once. Yes, they were both in Minnesota. They played Dallas well this season, but that's been a little more even. Those are going to be their first-round matchups. They're going to be in-division matchups, or it's going to be the Kraken or the Jets, or maybe the Calgary Flames, though it's looking less likely. So you're looking at the Jets, the Kraken, the Wild, or the Stars. I'll put the Stars as the toughest of those teams. If Kaprizov is back, the Wild enter that conversation. But those are all winnable matchups. You need either Lehkonen or Landeskog back, though.
Okay. So they're going to need those. That's fine. Still hoping they make a run, that they win it all. The playoff teams, as far as playing these playoff teams, we'll see what happens. But what are the odds on one of those two returning? I think Landeskog at this point, you can't rely on it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'll start with Landeskog. It's been weird because, like, first of all, we didn't really know he was going to be out this long until right around the time the season started. Like, we didn't know he was going to miss extended time. And then they put the window on it of, oh, he's going to be out 6 weeks. And if you did the math, that was about the new year, the turn of the new year from 2022 to 23. It's April 3rd now. But the good news is he's been skating the past couple weeks. It looks like he's ramping up his skating. He seems to be skating faster and quicker when you see the videos of him. That being said, Jared Bednar is still saying that he's, or at least as of a week and a half or so ago, said he's not close. Now, what does he mean by not close, that he's not going to be back in the next couple games? When I hear not close, though, it makes it sound like he's not going to be back for the playoffs. I really wish somebody would just ask Jared Bednar, yes or no, is Gabe Landeskog going to be ready by the start of the playoffs? So I'm not optimistic, but I'm not ruling it out. I have a tough read on that one. With Arturi Lehkonen, he broke a finger a few weeks ago, and the timeline for his surgery, for his return, was about the start of the playoffs. And if you'll remember in last year's playoffs, Nazem Kadri broke a finger, and when they needed him, even though he wasn't ready to come back, he came back and he scored an overtime game-winning goal, even with a broken finger. So even if Arturi Lehkonen isn't ready for game one, if games one and two are rough for the Avs, which they could be without the top six forward depth that they need with a Lehkonen or Landeskog, maybe Lehkonen says screw it and comes back. Either way, I think Lehkonen will be ready for game one of the playoffs. That seems to be the indication from Bednar. Based on a recent report we had, it seems like Manson and Lehkonen will be ready. Gabe Landeskog remains the eternal question mark.
Got any plays in the championship game tonight, my friend? A little UConn action. I got UConn -7.5. Talk to me. You're gonna watch?
Yeah.
This thing?
Look, if I were to bet the spread, I would go UConn -7.5 as well. You know, I'm really pleased with what San Diego State has been able to do. You know, good for that program. Good for the Mountain West. Man, I was watching a good amount of the second half of FAU and San Diego State, and man, no team can make a shot. San Diego State was just relying on getting all these offensive rebounds and still not scoring. Whereas UConn has just, they seem to be a machine. They seem to just be an absolute machine with size and guys who can shoot. So yeah, I would lean the -7.5. Me personally, though, I'm going to take UConn money line tonight. And I was, you know, with all this Major League Baseball, I'm a big George Springer fan. He has my last name. He went to UConn. The Toronto Blue Jays lineup is absolutely sick. So I'm going with George Springer, UConn alum, and the Jays to go into Kansas City. The Royals are 0-3. I'm going to take the Blue Jays money line and UConn money line. It's something I like to do, is stupid little parlays like that. But I absolutely understand why you like UConn -7.5. They seem to be a wagon, Holden.
Yeah, I usually don't even bet these things pregame. I usually bet them live, but they've just been blowing teams out. So I think I'll take them pregame and then probably bet this thing live as well. Have you watched any baseball to this point? Have you watched any baseball? Because the product's better.
Yeah, I've watched a lot of baseball. And yeah, I am. At first, I was like, okay, let me see how it feels, because it felt the same to me. But after a full weekend of watching baseball, these games are going faster. They're going much faster. And the pitch clock is not only speeding the game up, like you could tell, like, man, these pitches are coming in. There's no messing around. Not only is it speeding the games up and just the innings up, and just when you're watching it, it feels like it's going faster, but it's affecting the pitchers and the batters. And I think it's allowing for more runs. The pitchers are having less time to think about what they want to do. And the batters are having less time to kind of prep, but they're feeding off of that indecisiveness from the pitchers. We'll see if there's an adjustment, if pitchers kind of have to start thinking more three pitches ahead now as far as what they want to do. But right now, I think it's leading to more runs, and overs in this early stage of the season seem to be the play.
Yeah, the pitch clock's amazing, buddy. The pitch clock has been terrific. I think it's going to bring a lot of people back to the game, or it's going to introduce people to the game. I mean, you're younger than me. You know there's no attention span anymore. And it's happened to me too. But this pitch clock's awesome. We got heavy winds in Los Angeles tonight that have pushed the total down to 8.5, I think, because of the shift rules on the infield. Stolen bases, that you're going to see more overs. So that's something else to adjust to early in the season with baseball. Just want to let you know that. That's my helpful tip.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously there was a ton of sports going on this weekend. So, you know, I'd have some baseball games on TV, but then a lot of times I'd have them on the Gamecast. I'm an old school Gamecast guy. Yeah. And in the past, you know, you'd sit there in a Gamecast and the pitches would just sporadically come in. Innings would take forever. My game, like, pitches are just like, bam, bam, bam. I'm like, this is awesome. Nobody. Because you're right, our attention spans are so short, it's so much better.
Yeah, the game's awesome. It's a lot of fun. One thing before we leave, just saw this pop up on Twitter. Lekkonen out early working with Allard stick in hand. So maybe we get Lekkonen back.
Yeah. No, the timeline was right around the start of the playoffs. And look, if Kadri plays with a broken finger, then Lekkonen will play with a broken finger. They need him. Alex Newhook's a good player, but you need an Arturi Lekkonen on your top six.
All right, you can't see me right now, but I'm waving my hand in front of my face like John Cena. Just saying that.
Like Caitlin Clark, like Angel Reese.
Best thing to ever happen to women's basketball. Not kidding.
Well, Caitlin Clark might be the best thing to happen. And then, yeah, add some juice. Let's look, dude, I had Iowa winning yesterday. That was, hey, tip of the cap to LSU, I guess. Mm-hmm. They got absolutely red hot from three. I knew it was probably too good to be true that Iowa was close to a pick 'em. Everyone was probably going to back them. I was one of them. And now Caitlin Clark will be back next year, and you know that people are going to want to bet Iowa next year.
Yeah, I went on a hike hanging out with Buffaloes yesterday, so I missed that. Missed the whole tournament. But it was, again, it's really good that they have some controversy. It brings more eyeballs to things. Although Clark, I guess, had 5 million plus. So highly rated Final Four there. Springer, plug everything you're doing, my friend.
Yeah, tonight, the Blitz from 6 to 7 on Altitude Sports Radio 92.5. Me and Mark Bertinoli. That's after I produce Kreckman and Lindahl from 3 to 6. And then tomorrow, extended Blitz. On 92.5 ahead of the Avs at the Sharks, because they're on the West Coast. So we'll go a little longer, and then we'll be up a little later with Between the Pipes after the Avs and the Sharks. And yeah, the Sharks on Tuesday, the Sharks on Thursday. So scheduling gods are kind to the Avs. Get 4 points against the Sharks.
Thank you, Mr. Springer. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Holden Radio. Thanks to Melissa, Adam, and Terry behind the scenes. And thanks for you for checking out the Denver CityCast and the Bet Rivers Network.
Thanks for listening to the Denver CityCast. on the Bet Rivers Network.